All right, sports fans, how's everybody out there doing? William Martin coming at you one more time with another edition of the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge Podcast. Now, we're basically at the quarter point of the 2016 Major League Baseball season, and as always, there have been some surprises. Now, you look at the American League East right now, and it appears to be a two-team race, at least for now, between the Baltimore Orioles and Boston Red Sox. It's just percentage points that separate these two teams right now. You look at the Blue Jays and the Yankees. Both of these teams made the playoffs last year. Of course, Toronto won the AL East, and then the Yankees were the first wild card in the American League. But now you have the Bronx Bombers 6.5 back in last place, and Toronto 6 games back themselves. And I'm going to start with the Blue Jays. You look at their starting pitching and how it's struggling. Of course, they lost David Price in free agency as he went on to sign with the Boston Red Sox. But you have a youngster like Marcus Stroman who has stepped up, but there is no depth in this rotation. Yes, the Blue Jays can hit. They have the likes of Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, and Trey Tulowitzki in his lineup. But you can't win games in a slugfest every single night. And for Toronto to get back into it, they're going to have to go out there and get an arm. You look at the Yankees, and it's the same thing that I said at the start of the season, where they don't have pitchers in their starting rotation that can consistently pitch deep into games. And thus, Joe Girardi has had to really milk his bullpen in the first part of the season. On top of that, the Yankees have been dealing with injuries in their lineup, and now it is really showing its face with this club. Again, remember, the Yankees did not go out and spend money in free agency over the winter, and that's the first time in 40 years that ever happened. They're trying to develop their guys, and right now the folks that follow this team in New York City have to be very patient. Now you look at the Boston Red Sox, they're healthy this year. They have their manager John Farrell back, and they have really rallied around David Ortiz, who is expected to retire following this season. But you look at the tear that outfielder Jackie Bradley Jr. is on. Hanley Ramirez is a new guy at first base. Of course, you have the consistency with Dustin Pedroia at second base, and the Red Sox right now really have the feel of a team that could make the postseason and do some damage. And you look at the Baltimore Orioles, it's another quality job done by manager Buck Showalter. Chris Davis is back, he's paid and he's healthy. Adam Jones hasn't gotten it going yet, but eventually you know that he will. Jonathan Scope has really stepped up his play. This team also signed designated hitter Pedro Alvarez over the winter. And you look at this Baltimore Orioles club, they may not win the American League East, but the way things are going right now, they are definitely in line to be a postseason team. Now you look at the AL Central, and the surprise here has to be the Chicago White Sox. This team has really been down on their luck the past few years, but you look at Robin Ventura and the manager for the White Sox and the job that he is doing this year. This club acquired Todd Frazier in that big three-team deal from the Cincinnati Reds over the winter. You bring in a guy like Brett Laurie, the former Blue Jay and Athletic. You also bring in a former National League MVP to play shortstop in Jimmy Rollins. And it has been a culture change inside of this White Sox locker room. They are 25-16. They are in first place in that division. And quietly, they are a team that nobody is talking about. And when you mention the White Sox, how can you fail to forget and respect the job that starting pitcher Chris Sale has done this year? 9-0 on the campaign with an ERA below 2, and he is finally getting the run support that he has been lacking for the past few years, and it is making a difference for him in the wins and losses column. You look at the Kansas City Royals in third place right now with a record of 20-20. They are 4.5 back of the White Sox. They're getting ready to have a big weekend series this weekend with the Southsiders, and it's a situation for the Royals like this. Yes, they are the defending World Series champions. They did lose some key players in free agency over the winter, and Ben Zobrist and Johnny Cueto, and there is still a veteran presence with this club. But for Kansas City, they have gone from being the hunter to the hunted, and basically they play 162 playoff games every single night. Why? Because of that patch that they wear on the right arm of their jersey that says World Series Champions, and everybody simply wants to get a piece of them. I think at some point the Royals are going to get consistent and hit their stride, but just like it has been in the past few years, I think GM Dayton Moore is going to find a way to make a deal between now and the trading deadline to get this team back into contention. You look at the Detroit Tigers in fourth place. They're 5.5 games back with a record of 19-21. They have won their last five games after dipping into that funk, and there were reports that Brad Ausmus could have potentially been fired as their manager. But you look at this Tigers club, there's a veteran presence in this team, and there is plenty of pride. You look at the likes of Miguel Cabrera and JD Martinez and Victor Martinez, just to name a few. And at some point, Justin Upton is going to get it going. He's too good of a player. He might not hit for 300, but he's definitely going to be a guy that's going to drive in 80 to 90 runs along with hitting 25 home runs. And once he gets going in this already potent Tigers lineup, the sky's the limit for the offense. But as usual, it's the pitching that has the question mark for the Tigers. More importantly, their bullpen, as they consistently blow games. Now, after playing above their heads last year, it has been a harsh reality for the Minnesota Twins right now, as they have a record of 10-30, and they are definitely playing the part of the worst team in Major League Baseball. And it's hard to see this because they're led by manager Paul Molitor, and he was one of the best to play the game during his era. So for Minnesota, all you can try to do is just take this season as a loss and just get prepared for 2017. Now, in the AL West, you look at the Seattle Mariners and how they have really turned things around in their first year under manager Scott Service. They are 23-17. They're in first place in the AL West. And you look at the resurgence of second baseman Robinson Cano. He's healthy this year. He's more focused, and he is becoming the leader that the Mariners envisioned when they signed him to that big deal a few years ago. Now, in the Mariners starting rotation, Felix Hernandez is still one of the best pitchers in baseball, but he is getting support behind him in the form of Taijuan Walker. And you look at the Mariners right now, they could slip at some point, but they are not going to go down without a fight in the AL West. The Rangers are right behind them with a record of 22-19, and they have some good news as Yu Darvish is getting closer and closer and closer to joining their rotation, and that is going to be a tough 1-2 combo for hitters in the American League West to face with Texas Rangers pitchers in Darvish and Cole Hamels. The LA Angels are sitting there at 19-22, and right now somebody on this team, both in the rotation and in the lineup, has to make a play that is not named Mike Trout. Mike Trout is one of the best players in baseball right now, but he only gets 4 at bats a game, and he can't pitch for the Angels as well. So the Angels have to find a way to get somebody to step up and support what this youngster can do. And then, of course, the Houston Astros. This team has been a big-time disappointment this year. They're 17-25. They are 7 games behind the Mariners. And, of course, the Astros made the American League divisional round last year. They were just a few outs away from making the ALCS, and they have taken a huge turn backwards. And it's a big part of it is due to the fact that they're not getting the quality pitching that they were last year. On top of that, the Astros are a team that lives and dies by the home run. And if they're not hitting the long ball, they are struggling. And we are seeing that this year. And I don't see the Astros being able to turn it around and get it going as far as being a postseason team in 2016. Now, moving along to the National League, and you look at the NL East, and this is a very tight race, as you have 4 teams right now within 3.5 games of each other for first place. You have the Nationals in first place, the Philadelphia Phillies 1 game behind them, the New York Mets 2.5 games behind them in third, and then the Miami Marlins in fourth place, 3.5 games back. Now, of course, most of us did expect the Mets and Nationals to slug it out this season. They just had a series this week at Citi Field in Flushing, where Washington took 2 out of 3 from the Metropolitans. But the big surprise here has to be the Philadelphia Phillies. This was a team that nearly lost 100 games last year. They were expected to lose well over 90 games this year. And right now, 41 games into their 2016 season, they have themselves a record of 24-17. And at the season ended today, Philly would have the first wild card in the National League. And you look at the job that manager Pete Maccannon has done. He has some youngsters on his team. You look at this rotation and Vince Velasquez and Aaron Nola, just to name a few, along with the veteran and Jeremy Hellickson. The offense is not there for the Phillies, but the bottom line is if you have quality pitching on a nightly basis, it will keep you in the game, and you will more than likely find a way to win. The Washington Nationals are in their first year under manager Dusty Baker, and you look at his track record as he has gotten every single team that he has managed to the postseason at least once. And you look at the job that he's doing right now with the Nationals. And more importantly, you look at the job that second baseman Daniel Murphy is doing in his first season for the Washington Nationals. Of course, he signed that 3-year deal with the Nats after coming over from the Mets and being the postseason hero for them last October. And Murphy right now is hitting nearly 400. And that is solid because the Nats need somebody who can consistently give protection to Bryce Harper in their lineup. They look at the New York Mets right there at 22-18, and I know the Met fans, they're not thrilled right now, being that they lost the series to the Washington Nationals, while they are also 3-7 in their last 10 contests. But you look at this Mets lineup, and it is full of streaky hitters, 1-8. Right now, David Wright, he's struggling at third base with his bat, and that is to be expected because this guy is trying to go out there and play with a bad bat, and that is something that is not fun to deal with. Travis d'Arnaud, their catcher, is on the disabled list, and it is given the opportunity for Kevin Plawicki to be a consistent starter for the Mets. You look at Neil Walker, he had the hot start for the Mets at second base, but he has cooled off a bit. But you look at their outfield with Curtis Granderson, Juan Lagares, Michael Conforto, and Yoenis Cespedes, and mainly it's been Conforto, Granderson, and Cespedes out there. And all of these guys are streaky, but Granderson is starting to pick it up himself. But the Mets' bread and butter is their pitching, and they have been having struggles with that. Matt Harvey is attempting to pitch through an injury, and the Mets are flirting with putting him on the disabled list. It would not be a bad idea at this point because he is doing more bad than good when he takes the ball every fifth day. Jacob deGrom is also struggling through injuries, but you have Noah Syndergaard, who has been lights out. And Steven Matz is expected to make his return for the Mets tonight on the mound. And at some point, you know that all things are going to click for the Mets at some point over the summer. So if you are a fan of the Mets right now, you really not need worry. You have the Miami Marlins right there with 20. They have a record of 21-19. They're 3.5 back. And under first-year manager Don Mattingly, this team will be competitive as long as Giancarlo Stanton stays healthy out there in right field. Of course, the Braves have already fired manager Freddie Freeman after their abysmal start, and it all cannot, pardon me, not Freddie Freeman, Freddie Gonzalez, rather, after their abysmal start. And it's something where all of the blame should not go to Gonzalez, because you look at the job that this front office has done in gutting the roster over the past few years, and they've left Gonzalez with absolutely nothing to coach. But the way things are going right now, this is going to be a very interesting race in the National League East this season. I do expect the Phillies and Marlins to taper off at some point. But at the same time, the rate that the Phillies are going, who's to say that they cannot find themselves either winning the division or, at worst, being a wild card in the NL. Now you look at the National League Central, and the Chicago Cubs are really beginning to run away with this division as they have a 6.5 game lead over the second place Pittsburgh Pirates. And you look at this Cubs team, they are not resting on their laurels as they found a way to get better after winning 97 games last year. Remember, this was a Cubs team that won 97 games, and they did not even win their own division in 2015. But you look at this team right now, they have more depth in their rotation with John Lackey, John Lester, and of course, Jake Arrieta, who is pitching out of this world. You look at this Cubs lineup, and they are loaded with the likes of Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Jason Heyward, Jorge Soler, and the list just simply goes on and on and on. You look at the St. Louis Cardinals in this division, they're in third place, and for the Cards, it's not pretty, but they are finding ways to win games because it's all about the Cardinal way. And I'll tell you like this, don't allow St. Louis to win 90 games, because if they win 90 games and get to the playoffs, as always, they are going to be a very tough out. I expect both the Milwaukee Brewers and Cincinnati Reds to be players on the trade market soon as far as dumping guys. Of course, the Reds would love to trade Jay Bruce and Brandon Phillips. Joey Votto has a very lengthy and expensive contract that it's going to be tough to move, but I do see the Reds at some point trying to trade Phillips and Bruce. For the Milwaukee Brewers, if they could try to find a way to trade outfielder Ryan Braun and get something back for him, he is having a solid season out there in Milwaukee. And if they can get some youngsters back for him to build their farm system, it would be a good call for Milwaukee. Now, out in the National League West, you look at the tight race right there. You have the Giants in first place, while both the LA Dodgers and Colorado Rockies are 3.5 games back. I do expect the Giants at some point to pull away because they are going to get their stride. The Dodgers, they're going to be an up and down team this year because they don't have the depth in their starting rotation behind Clayton Kershaw, but they do have the bats, and I do see a motivated Yasiel Puig playing right field for them this season. So that is definitely going to be a shot in the arm for the Dodgers. You look at the Colorado Rockies, of course, they always have the bats. You look at the youngster in Trevor Story, but you also look at Carlos Gonzalez and Nolan Arenado. And both of these guys were healthy last year, and each of them hit 40 home runs last year for Colorado. Same old song for the Rockies. They can score runs, but they just don't get quality pitching out there in the thin Rocky Mountain air. And then, of course, the San Diego Padres, they are 7.5 games back of the Giants right now, and they are in last place in the NL West. And at some point, I do expect the Padres to wave the white flag. Are they going to trade James Shields, a starting pitcher? Would they trade Matt Kemp and get that salary off their hands? Would they try to trade outfielder Melvin Upton Jr. as well? We'll have to wait and see. But the Padres at some point will be a seller. Now, I look at my AL manager of the year, and for me, it has to be at this point Robin Ventura. With the job that he has been able to do in the National League, it has to be Pete Maccann, because nobody has made a bigger surprise in baseball this year, for my money, than the Philadelphia Phillies. At this point, my AL MVP is David Ortiz, because he is still a clutch hitter for the Boston Red Sox at the age of 40. My NL MVP at this point has to be Daniel Murphy, because you look at the job that he has done, not only with his bat, but also in the clubhouse. And a lot of people did not give Murphy enough credit for this when he was with the Mets, but he was a guy who was a leader, and he has brought that to the locker room in the nation's capital. My AL Cy Young at this point has to be Chris Sale. He has pitched like a Cy Young winner over the past few years, but he simply does not get the run support when he takes the mound. That is a different case this year. Right now, for my NL Cy Young, I think you have to split it up in threes, giving one third of it to Steven Strasburg of the Washington Nationals, another third to Jake Arrieta of the Chicago Cubs, and of course, the final third to Clayton Kershaw of the Los Angeles Dodgers. My rookie of the year in the American League has to be Texas Rangers outfielder Nomar Mazara. He has come in and he has made an impact already down there in Arlington. And then in the National League, I'm going to go with Colorado Rockies shortstop Trevor Story, who is making the most of his opportunity at short so far, as he has hit 12 home runs. So that is the way I see it right now for the first quarter of the Major League Baseball season. We still have plenty to go. The weather is going to warm up, and just as the weather warms up, so will the action on the baseball diamond. So folks, that's going to wrap it up. And as always, I want to take this time out to thank you for tuning into the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge podcast. Now, if you're on Twitter, please feel free to follow me at 300 Pounds of Sports. And like I always say, if you follow me, it will be my pleasure to follow you right back. Also, there's a Facebook page at 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge. You can check it out, and you are more than welcome to like it as well. So once again, fine folks, my name is William Martin. Take care and have yourselves a wonderful day.